a good evening. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Our webpage is located at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. That's www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. We're heard on satellite AMC3, Transponder 7, Digicipher 2 Audio, and anywhere else you can pick us up. Tonight, Mike McIntyre, crime reporter for the Winnipeg Free Press and host of Crime and Punishment on the Chorus Radio Network, will be here to talk about the Adam DePrisco case. Is Mexico another Aruba? If you are a citizen of a foreign land, can you guarantee that Mexico will investigate crimes? If you're a family of a victim of a crime in Mexico, will you guarantee, or can you guarantee, that Mexico will investigate a crime properly? I don't think so. After that, January 24th marks 1 year since Jennifer Kessie went missing. Drew Kessie, her dad, will join me. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. I want to share some breaking news with you here. Just came across the wire just before we got started. I did a daily commentary about this. Again, daily commentaries can be found on the webpage at scaredmonkeys.com/radio. This is this dopey shock jock crap contest where a young mother of three, Jennifer Strange, lost her life. KDND 107.9, The End. That should be, and I understand it's the end of that show in Sacramento, had a contest. And you know, I'm getting a gutful of this shock jock crap radio that is on the air right now. The Howard Sterns, I'm sorry, but and I know millions listen to Howard Stern, but that stuff's garbage. And these shock jocks that come on, and here they were getting people to drink water. See how much water they could drink and hold in their body. And whoever kept it in the longest would win a dopey $250 Wii game system. Hold your Wii for a Wii was the contest. In fact, they put some audio out today of the poor young gal that passed away and how she was saying she wasn't feeling well and how somebody else called the radio station and said, you know, this really isn't good for people, and you could hear this idiot shock jock laughing in the background. Well, this comes from the radio and records webpage. The Sacramento County Sheriff's Office is furthering the investigation into the death of Jennifer Strange, who died last Friday in the water drinking contest on Entercom CHR Top 40 KDND 107.9 The End in Sacramento. Sergeant Tim Kern of the Sacramento Sheriff's Department tells Radio and Records that the district attorney will make the call as to whether criminal charges will be filed, and he cautions that the DA won't file anything until the investigation by the Sheriff's Department and the coroner is concluded, which will take weeks. You know, and you hear these idiot jocks saying, well, they signed a waiver, so, you know, and they're laughing about, is there anybody dying back there? Is there anybody this? Well, somebody did die, and it's about time the FCC, the law, enforcement, DAs, judges, whoever, start cracking down and putting some culpability on these shock jocks for these stupid contests where people will do anything to try and win something. And $250 for a video game system, and a young mother of three has lost her life. That's unbelievable. Speaking of sad cases, Adam DePrisco, 19, of the Toronto suburb of Woodbridge, Ontario, died after visiting a popular nightclub in Acapulco, Mexico. Mexican officials say he was a victim of a hit-and-run accident, while members of his family believe he was beaten to death. Here we have another case, and there's a case of a couple of Canadians who were down in Mexico who had their throats slashed, and the Mexican government was trying to blame a couple of Canadian soccer moms who were staying in the same hotel. Of course, we all know about the Natalie Holloway case. These governments that try to cover up investigations, sloppily handle investigations, put the blame off on anybody else in an investigation just to protect their tourism, has got to stop. This afternoon, I interviewed Mike McIntyre. Mike is the Winnipeg Free Press crime reporter and host of the nationally syndicated program Crime and Punishment up here in Canada about the Adam DePrisco case, and I'll share that with you now. A story that's going on right now, Adam DePrisco, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, 19 of the Toronto suburb suburb of Woodbridge, Ontario, died after visiting a popular nightclub in Acapulco. Mexican officials say he was a victim of a hit-and-run accident, while members of his family believe he was beaten to death. The Canadian government and Mexican government are talking about this. It's another case of a national citizen, a Canadian, dying in a foreign country. And questions as far as the investigation goes. I thought I'd bring on Mike McIntyre. Mike is a Winnipeg Free Press crime reporter. He also hosts the popular Crime and Punishment radio show on the Chorus Radio Network to talk about this and see what really has been going on, because we're getting mixed press releases from Mexico and Canada and all that sort of stuff. Mike McIntyre, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I called it a Rubenesque. I don't know if that's a word or not, but the Natalie Holloway case is still going on, where questions as far as the investigation and the competency of the investigators, and if there's any cover-up. There have been other Canadians that have died in Mexico, and questions as far as the investigation. Now we have this case, the Adam DePresco case. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. What's going on with this case, Mike?
Well, it's pretty clear, Dana, that traveling abroad, besides all the usual dangers one associates with it, I mean, if the message is pretty clear these days that if you're a victim of crime in a foreign land, and we've now had a couple cases in Canada involving Canadians apparently murdered or at least killed in Mexico, that the chances of you and your family seeing justice certainly appear to be very slim, and I think the comparison to the Holloway case is a good one, because you know, certainly now this long after the fact, and we still don't know what happened to Natalie Holloway, and we probably never will know the true story. And certainly the family of Adam DePresco, the 19-year-old Ontario boy, feel that they may never know the answers, because what we're seeing from the so-called leaders in Mexico, the justice officials, is a complete and utter lack of justice, a lack of any kind of thorough investigation. I mean, I sort of shuddered, as I'm sure you did, when we read the reports this week from Adam DePresco's traveling companion, who talked about within minutes of this young man's body being removed from the street where he died, fire trucks and the like were along at the scene hosing things down.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that, you know, the quicker we can clean this up, the better, because we'd hate to send anyone the wrong message that bad things are happening around here. I mean, that is as sloppy and as careless as it gets. And how can anyone have any confidence that a real investigation was conducted when you hear about that kind of going on?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just joining me, Mike McIntyre, he's a Winnipeg Free Press crime reporter and host of Chorus Radio's Crime and Punishment. He's here, and we're talking about the Adam DePresco case. Reports have said that Foreign Affairs Minister Peter McKay has been speaking to the Mexican government about this. Have you heard anything as far as any cooperation between the Mexican and Canadian governments and releasing information regarding this case, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, other than, I suppose, the normal one reaction one might expect, which is their foreign relations, foreign affairs minister in Mexico, a woman named Patricia Espinoza, has said that apparently that they'll do what they can. But again, you know, I'd want to get that in writing, and I don't know that I'd trust anything coming out of Mexico these days. Peter McKay has got involved in this only after pressure from the DePresco family, who were sort of saying, you know, how come he's not doing anything for us? On Monday of this week, McKay did apparently extend a phone call. This after he talked to the mother of the young man who died here. He did contact his counterpart in Mexico, and I suppose had been pacified a little bit, but I think, you know, the horse is already out of the barn, Dana. I mean, how can you go back in time and undo the damage that it appears has already been done here? I mean, it's one thing now to say, investigate this properly, but if the reports are true, I mean, the damage is done, and, you know, it may be that the truth never does come out. Now, it is interesting to know, and one major development has to do with the autopsy. As you know, an autopsy was conducted on Canadian soil over the weekend, and the preliminary results, which the family have been reluctant to release, do seem, on the surface to go along with a theory that Adam DePriska was the victim of a hit and run, a car accident, and not a beating, as his friend alleges. But there are still more test results that they're waiting on, and so that could certainly change.
Like in the Holloway case and in other cases where foreign nationals die, the quality of the investigation comes into question. The safety of the place that was being visited comes into question. Has the media done a good enough job, Mike, in Canada, in the United States, reporting regarding these so-called paradises like Acapulco or Aruba, as far as the dangers and the precautions that should be taken, or is it strictly a follow-the-money trail type of situation where people just go and we keep hearing these tragic stories?
Yeah, you know, I think you're seeing a lot of sort of armchair media reporting on these. I mean, a lot of this is being done from a distance. I don't necessarily fault the media because, again, you know, we're seeing families and police agencies here in Canada often be stymied by the Mexican authorities or the Aruban authorities, and therefore I don't imagine it's much easier for media to really make much headway in terms of getting to the bottom of some of this. Certainly, I think you've touched on the main issue here, and that is these are luxury destinations, these are tropical paradises, and the almighty dollar certainly speaks loud and clear, and that is these places do not want anything that impedes tourism. Now, I think this is going to backfire, and perhaps is beginning to backfire in a major way. I mean, a lot of people these days, you ask them about Aruba, you ask them about Mexico, yeah, and names like Holloway and DePriska and Ionero, yeah, another case we haven't touched upon yet, but involving an Ontario couple found with their throat slit in Mexico last year. I mean, these are what people now associate. You don't hear palm trees and white sandy beaches. You hear murder and cover up. And I think that it's going to end up biting them in the butt because a lot of Canadians and Americans may be reluctant now to go to some of these places. They may look elsewhere, thinking, you know, I don't trust anyone, and I don't know what's going to happen to me when I'm there.
Mike, there's been some reports that the traveling companion of DePriska say that he was thrown out of the bar after he was dancing with a local man's girlfriend. And again, the question comes up whether or not he was hit by a car or whether or not he was beaten. The quality of the investigation, the type of investigation that's been done, has the family spoken about hiring their own private investigator or getting some assistance, possibly from the RCMP or another police agency, to help get some answers?
Yeah, they haven't yet, and it's interesting because the Ionero case, which is probably the closest to this case, because it involves people from Ontario who died in Mexico, the Ionero case from last year, we have seen now a private investigator hired. The RCMP have been asked to get involved in that investigation and have basically thrown up their hands and said, there's not much we can do. The government has decided not to send Mounties to Mexico to conduct their own investigation. And the Ionero case, I mean, is a major travesty. Yeah. We saw from the get-go Mexican officials very quick to point the finger at two soccer moms,
right,
from the sleepy suburb of Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Jeez.
Just so happened to be in the same hotel where this couple was slain, as the suspects, when it now appears that the real evidence pointed to a security guard, a Mexican security guard working in the hotel. And I think you see evidence right there of why it's easier to point the finger at another tourist than it is to someone sort of employed in the tourism industry as a security guard at a hotel would be, because people won't be as scared, I suppose, if they think, wow, this is a dispute between fellow Canadians, as opposed to this is a hit, maybe a robbery gone wrong or something involving a local.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's a low-class response by the government, kind of like in Aruba, where Dave Holloway was told that Natalie just ran away and he should go have a drink, and in a few hours she would come back. Let's talk about your show a little bit. For those that don't know Mike, he hosts a show on Sundays on the Chorus Radio Network and the Rolco Radio Network called Crime and Punishment. Tell the folks a little bit about that.
I guess we're coming up now on the four-year anniversary. In just a couple weeks, it'll be 4 years since we started the show. It's almost been a full year since the show was national. It actually started off as a Manitoba-based talk show and expanded last March to a three-hour instead of a two-hour show, and broadcasts now in about a dozen Canadian markets. You know, it's the kind of show, I think, that lets people vent a little bit, and people certainly have a lot to vent about. But it also, and this is one of my main goals, is I think it gives some insight into some of the headlines you read about. We did try and dig a little deeper. We bring on some of the main players, be it the victims, the lawyers involved, sometimes the judges, the police officers, and sometimes the criminals. They have a story to tell as well and are certainly part of the process. So, you know, we every week is sort of a different adventure, and we try and hit on a bunch of rapid-fire topics, not only Canadian topics, but ones all over the world. And as you know, Dana, there's never really a shortage for material. It's just a matter of picking your poison, because there is so much crime to talk about and issues related to crime to talk about. But, you know, I like to think that this is a forum. The show provides a weekly forum for people to perhaps try and gain a better understanding of what's going on in our society, why it's happening, and what we can do to stop it.
Can you give us a preview for this week's show, or are you able to do that yet?
Yeah, we do a feature every month with it's a group called the Missing Children Society of Canada, and we call it the Lost Children. Every month we feature a different cold case investigation. Now, this month is going to be on this coming Sunday, and it involves a case out of Saskatchewan, a young girl named Courtney Struble, who went missing a couple of years ago, just vanished. Her mother, Joy Struble, will be on the show this weekend to talk about the search for answers into what has happened to her daughter, and we'll certainly feature that case and some of the others that we've talked about as well. Just a quick note, we actually, one of the cases we featured just before Christmas involved a Baltimore, Maryland woman whose three children had been abducted by their father. The woman hadn't seen her children for many months, and the case sort of had a happy ending in that just prior to Christmas, a couple days before Christmas, the children were found and reunited with their mother. So it's nice to hear that one of these sad cases that we feature has a happy ending.
You got a new website coming up. Well, I guess it's the same website, but some changes.
Yeah, just a new look to the website that we've had going for a while, and any hour now it should be up and running, if not already, mikeoncrime.com, and it's sort of a coming together of some of the various things between the newspaper stuff, the radio show, the books that I've done. I've now on my third true crime book, and we got some good news recently in that my latest book, To the Grave, Inside a Spectacular RCMP Sting, is now a national bestseller and in its third printing. And so, you know, you can read all about that and crime stories from around the world, including a lighter side of the law. I think it's important, Dana, yep, we take a step back and perhaps laugh sometimes at what's going on, because if we only focus on the doom and gloom, we're all going to go crazy. So we try and feature some of the dumb criminal stories that remind us that criminals sometimes aren't the brightest bulbs.
That's for sure. Mike McIntyre, thank you. Just stay on the line for a second. And
sure, thank you.
We'll be right back here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
Here we come, walk down the street. Get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We go wherever we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless, there's always something new.
We're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
time or anywhere. Just look over your shoulder, guess who'll be standing there?
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
You're right. There we are, the Monkees. This is the Scared Monkees Radio Network. My name's Dana Pretzer, and aptly, we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. In about 10 minutes, Drew Kessie will be here. His daughter Jennifer has been missing a year come January 24th, and I encourage you all to check out their webpage at www.findjenniferkessie. Kessie is spelled K-E-S-S-E.com. That's www.findjenniferkessie.com. For more information about Jennifer. Jennifer, again, has been missing since January 24th, 2006, from Orlando, Florida. I want to thank Mike McIntyre for agreeing to come on the show this evening. And make sure and check out Mike's webpage. I just checked it. It is up and running. It's in fact, there's a link to the Scared Monkees webpage there. It's mikeoncrime.com, www.mikeoncrime.com. Let him know you heard him on the show here. I'm sure he'd love to hear an email from you. Or get an email from you. I think he makes some important points. You know, we're seeing with Mexico now in two particular cases, Aruba, obviously with the Holloway case, and so many other cases where you have to question the want of the government to want to try and do a competent investigation. You have to question the desire of the government, and you have to question the methods that are being done. Are they more interested in protecting the almighty dollar because it is a tourist industry in both countries? Acapulco, a young 19-year-old boy, whether he was hit by a car or beaten to death, regardless, he was still murdered. There needs to be a competent investigation. We don't know yet if there'll be private investigators looking into the case. The Ionero case is another case. The Mexican government tried to blame a couple of soccer moms from Ontario, where it looks like there's a security guard that was at the hotel that may be a better suspect. Not often are soccer moms from Ontario known for slashing throats. And, of course, the Holloway case, well, that case keeps going on and on and on. Reports are... it was breaking news on Fox News and Greta Van Susteren that Karen Johnson was leaving Aruba. That news was reported on my program, I think, 2 weeks ago, so it certainly isn't breaking news. There is going to be a new prosecutor. Where that goes and will the team of detectives actually come up with information that leads to an arrest and a trial in the Holloway case and a way to bring Natalie home, we'll have to wait and see. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkees Radio Network. We'll be right back.
People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself I can't deceive. I know it's only
my dreams come true. My life I'd give for you. My heart, the wedding ring. My all, my everything. My heart I can't control.
And we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show. Some news about the Devlin case. Michael Devlin, who had been charged with taking Missouri teen, who was missing since 2002, and then in the other case, so he's got two kidnapping charges, is also being looked at for a possible 1991 abduction. Police have released some information that in the most recent case where the young boy who was recovered with the other lad, the one that was missing since 2002, Sean Hornbeck, that a gun was used to scare him. So this Devlin character, I think, is in custody on $1 million bond. I don't think we'll get out. Although he did not have a criminal past, certainly has a past that needs a lot of investigating, and has two kidnapping charges now. There's allegations that there's kiddie porn on his computer and all sorts of stuff. This investigation will go on some time. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, the shock jock, that crap radio station, apparently the staff has been fired. The show has been pulled. There's a 28-year-old mother of three who has died, all because of a stupid radio contest to try and win a $250 game system. And it's about time. I hope the FCC goes after this radio station and fines them like you wouldn't believe, because it's not what broadcasting is supposed to be about. Yeah, there's different forms of broadcasting, but when I heard the audio today, I forget where I heard it, of this poor mother who passed away saying that her head hurt, and these jockeys sitting back and laughing about it, and because they signed a waiver. Nah, there's some culpability here. How stupid can a radio station and a show be? You drink water and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and don't let it out of your system, well, you're going to drown. And it's tragic. So I hope they throw the book at these guys big time. My name's Dana Pritzer. It's the Dana Pritzer Show. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Drew Kessie. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. On January 24th, 2006, Jennifer Kessie went missing from Orlando, Florida. It's been almost a year, and there's been no sign of Jennifer. I encourage you to check out the webpage that talks about Jennifer Kesey's disappearance at www.findjenniferkesey.com. That's www.findjenniferkesey.com. There is some things planned for the 1 year marking of Jennifer's disappearance, and I thought I'd bring on Drew Kesey tonight, Jennifer's dad, to talk about that. Drew, how are you?
Hanging in, Dana. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, it's a year, and the first time I had you on the show, I prayed that it would be, you know, a week, and you'd have some answers, but we're coming up to a year now. Your thoughts?
Hard to put in a few words.
Yeah.
Hopeful. We are still very, very hopeful that we will find out what has happened with Jennifer. I think we're very realistic people. If we find her alive, it will be a miracle.
Right.
But if we don't, we still obviously need her back to us so we can take care of her properly. But a year is a long time, obviously, and we're strong. We just need to know what has happened to her, and we hope to find that.
Well, circumstances aside, miracles do happen. We had one reported in the media here just the other day with the Hornbeck boy. And, you know, we all hope and pray that Jennifer will be found alive and you'll be able to get some answers to this. Talk about January 24th, 2006, just to refresh the listeners' memories.
Well, actually, on January 23rd, which was a Monday, 2006, it was the last time that we actually spoke with Jennifer. She had just gotten back from a trip with her boyfriend from St. Croix, and they'd gone to work that Monday, and I spoke with her at, I guess, around a little after 6 p.m. During the dinner hour, and Joyce had spoke to her earlier in the day, and Logan, her brother, had spoke to her after I did, and her friend as well as boyfriend, and her boyfriend was the last one to speak with her at 10 p.m. He lives in Fort Lauderdale, and he was in Fort Lauderdale. He's not a suspect.
Right.
And that was the last time that anyone was, you know, talked to Jennifer or saw Jennifer. And she did not show up for work on January 24th, Tuesday of 2006. She's very prompt. She's a very responsible young woman. And her employers pretty much went up the line until they got to us very quickly and said, well, you know, is something wrong with Jennifer? She's expected into work today. And we said, well, no, as far as we know, she was too. And we tried to get her on her cell phone as well as email, and nothing happened. And from that point, we knew something was wrong.
Right.
2 days later, her car was found 1.2 miles down the road. However, we do know now that it was dropped off approximately 12 o'clock midday of the same day, 24th of January. And after that, I guess we can say it's a mystery. There is a person of interest that we are still looking for also.
Right.
That seems to have been walking by the same time that Jennifer's car was dropped off in a condo parking lot 1.2 miles away from her home.
And to remind the listeners, again, the webpage, www.findjenniferkesey.com, you'll see a picture of this person of interest. Is there video of that on there, too, Drew?
Well, the video is not video because the surveillance tape that's taken is very old, complex, and what it is
right.
Security tape, and it takes a picture every 3 seconds.
Okay. A screen capture, then. Okay, I'm seeing that, and again, please go to www.findjenniferkesey.com and you'll see a picture of the person of interest. You have some things planned for the 24th of January. Drew, share those with us, please.
Sure. We had stood out at the corner very close to where Jennifer was, actually in between where Jennifer lives as well as where her car was dropped off. There's a major intersection with no billboards or what have you, and we actually held signs there for 110 days at rush hours. And we are going to go back there again to remind Orlando, as well as anyone who else is willing to listen, that Jennifer still is missing. As anyone, I think, knows with any missing person case, awareness is everything.
Yes.
And we have to see their face. As we learned this weekend, even though someone may have the opportunity to leave, they may not. And it is someone who can recognize things throughout an investigation and maybe even a face that we hope for. So we need to keep her face out there and for people to know that she still has not been found and she is missing. And people have been incredible to us and our family, especially Jennifer,
right. This
last year, including yourselves. And we're indebted to you all. It's incredible.
Well, we want to do what we can help. What I find interesting are some of the videos that have been posted on your webpage, findjenniferkesey.com. Let's talk a little bit about that. These are strangers that are doing these sorts of things, and they're actually quite well done.
Correct. You know, actually, Logan, Jennifer's brother, was zooming around the web one day, and he said, "Hey, did you see these things?" And I said, "No, I had no idea about what YouTube and everything."
Mm-hmm.
And he showed them to me, and it was breathtaking, shocking, actually. And I said, "Well, we need to put these up. These are unbelievable, and they are total strangers. They didn't email them to us. They didn't come out and say, 'Hey, I made this for you,' or what have you. We just came across them, and they're very talented, and they really do hit home. So a couple of people have really found our hearts, actually, and I encourage people to watch them. There's three of them, actually."
Right, and again, just go to findjenniferkesey.com, and you'll see the YouTube videos. There's a letter from your family to all of us, the listeners and the folks that have helped. One particular part of your letter that I thought was very touching, Drew, was the paragraph that you have written to the authorities. And I'd like you to talk about the authorities, the investigators, a little bit. Sometimes investigators, they're human too. They have children. They want to get the answers, and it's very frustrating for them to hit a brick wall. And they go home every night, and they want to do more. Talk about that a little bit, Drew.
The people, at least that we are dealing with in the Orlando Police, are absolutely incredible individuals. We've cried with them, almost all. We've laughed with them. They do consider Jennifer, honestly, their daughter. They want her so bad, it's incredible. And they are, again, our heroes. People don't realize, and I think you have been in the profession, Dana?
Yes.
I can't imagine going out into the world as an officer. I honestly have to admit that. It's an amazingly dangerous world out there. We don't think of it every day, but when you are a police officer, there's a lot of danger out there. And these people have worked for us tirelessly to this day and will continue. And we thank them for it. And we thank everyone who honestly even cares. But the authorities have been nothing but incredible to us. And they've had every resource available to them when they need it, how they need it, and very quickly. And we're very thankful for that too, but they're special people, and you are special people.
Well, thank you, sir. One thing just before I let you go, sadly, every time that we turn on the television, look at the internet, read a paper, or listen to the radio, we hear another case of a missing person, whether it's a child or an adult. We hear of the searchers, we hear of the investigators, we hear of the families. That first 24 hours when someone has been reported missing or has been determined they're missing is so important. I want you to give your thoughts a little bit, Drew, on the first 24 hours of a case. If you were to give your advice to a family, all of a sudden their daughter, they think, is missing, and they see on TV, do we have to wait 24 hours? Do we wait 2 days? What do we do? What do you do in a case like this, Drew?
Well, a couple things. What we did immediately is, honestly, we found out about Jennifer, so to say, not showing up to work by 11 a.m. By, I think probably 5 p.m., we live about 2 hours away from where Jennifer lives. And by 5 p.m., we had flyers made up on every door in her condo, on every car in her condo, and standing on street corners passing out the flyer. Time is of the essence. We're very lucky here in Florida to have an Amber Alert. Now, Jennifer was not open to that because she is not a child. She is an adult. However, anything you can do, you need to call your hospitals. You need to call your jails, believe it or not.
Right.
Something could happen that your child is in the hospital or your child got arrested for something.
Right.
So you have to check that, too. But awareness is very much key. And honestly, I am trying to work with a state representative currently on a new statute in Florida that an adult right now, I believe in Florida, they do not have to take a report immediately. And I'm working on a statute that anyone, it does not even have to be a family member, can call in a missing person and the police have to take a report,
right,
put it into databases, as well as human remains. There are a lot of remains that are in police confines that if we can get DNA and cross-check them across the board, we can solve some missing cases, honestly.
Absolutely.
What I'm working with. But awareness is everything from the minute one, and nothing short of anything you can do to make awareness is the key.
Absolutely. Drew Kesey, my friend, my thoughts and prayers, and I know my audiences are with you, that we all find Jennifer. Again, www.findjenniferkesey.com. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Danny, we thank you so much for your support this past year, and we still have a lot of work, obviously, and we hope your listeners will help us. I thank you.
We'll try our best. Thanks, Drew. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, your strength, your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the republic for which it stands.
A land of laws with an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no man to become a tyrant and lets no group prevail if their power is not tempered with a real concern for the governed. A land where the right of dissent and free speech is jealously guarded, where the ballot box is the sword and the people its wielder.
One nation under God.
A land where freedom of worship is a cornerstone of her being. A land graced with temples and churches, synagogues and altars that rise in profusion to embrace all the religions of the world.
Indivisible.
A land forged by the hot steel of raw courage, informed forever by the awful crucible of civil war.
With liberty.
Where man in pursuit of an honest life will not be denied his chance. Where her citizens move freely within her vast borders without hindrance or fear. A land brimming with opportunity. Where freedom of choice is the guideline for all.
And justice.
The courts of our land are open to all. Its wheels of justice grind for all causes, all people. They look to every avenue for justice, every concern of the law, and they temper their reasoning with mercy for all.
I pledge allegiance.
My name's Dana Pretzer. This has been the Dana Pretzer Show. Special thanks to my guest, Mike McIntyre. Again, check out his webpage at www.mikeoncrime.com. And Drew Kessie, www.findjenniferkessie.com. This has been the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Remember, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to past shows, daily commentaries. You can download them, listen to them, do whatever you want with them. www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again real soon.